our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Welcome to St. Stephen's today, on this Trinity Sunday, the first Sunday after we celebrated Pentecost. We're very, very glad that you can be with us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. On Communion Sundays, not only do we say the creed a little later in our service, but we are also acknowledging our relationship with the first peoples that inhabited this land that we are so blessed to live upon. In our efforts to do that, in consultation with Chief Michael Rakama, we have come up with this land acknowledgement. We are honoured to gather, serve, and worship on the traditional and unceded territory of the Qualicum First Nation, the traditional keepers of this land. We seek to live with respect for these original peoples and to honour their values and the land they have called home for thousands of years. We also pay our respects for and acknowledge the lives lost and the courage of the survivors of residential schools, and commit to support, advocate for, and contribute to the implementation of the calls to action of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada. Please join me in the call to worship today. Let us worship the Triune God. Let us worship the one who spoke in the beginning and created something out of nothing. Let us worship the Triune God. Let us worship the one who took on the clothing of humanity to set those who were oppressed free. Let us worship the triune God. Let us worship the one whose spirit rests continually upon us, calling us from sorrow-filled endings to bright new beginnings. Let us worship. If you light a candle at this time as part of your worship practice, let's do that together as we remember Jesus, the light of the world, come to save each and every one. The table is set. Jesus' table is set for you. To join in the feast later on in the service, the Feast of Holy Communion, if you need to pause this recording to prepare the elements of either bread or crackers and some wine or juice, why don't you go ahead and do that now? Let's pray. O Lord, our sovereign God, you are neither made nor fashioned by anyone. Wonderful beyond measure, you are faithful Father, servant Son, and enlivening Spirit. Holy Lord, beautiful and dynamic, intimately united as a society of love. You are our creator and cause. You are our perfect saviour. You are our intercessor and giver of spiritual gifts. The Lord of all has called us forth. Our triune God has made us good. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God's holy name. As we prepare to come to Jesus' table, let's say together our prayer of confession and seek God's forgiveness. Gracious God, even as we celebrate your unity, we know that sometimes we forget the beauty of your three persons. We hold to your transcendent life as Creator, yet keep at a distance the challenges of Christ. We bow before your glory, yet keep your humanness away from the reality of our own lives. Forgive us, Jesus Christ. Guide and guard us, Holy Spirit. Go on creating within us, Creator God. Forgive us for the arrogance of thinking we know all there is to know about you. Forgive us for closing ourselves off from ideas others offer that could help us to discover deeper truths about you and the life you offer. Forgive us, Jesus Christ. Guide and guard us, Holy Spirit. Go on creating within us, Creator God. Amen.
Friends, God made us. We are creatures who have been made in the image of the divine. Christ has redeemed us. We are a people who are forgiven and blessed. And the Holy Spirit sustains us so that we can be open to the future with confidence and hope. So be assured that whenever we confess whatever it is in the name of Christ, God is there waiting to bless you, to forgive you, to guide you forward. This is good news. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen. It is a Communion Sunday, as you can see, and as we do on Communion Sundays, we're going to say together one of our creeds this month. Please join me in saying together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Good morning. Today's reading is from the Gospel according to John, reading in chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of the Lord.
On my desk, in my study at home, I have a few little treasured items that inspire me while I work. One of those is a small little icon. It is a tiny copy of a famous icon of the Trinity that was actually painted by the Russian iconographer Rublev. That painting depicts three people who look a little like angels sitting at a table gathered around a golden chalice. Those three are the way that painter envisioned the three persons of God, together, in fellowship, with an air of peace and gentleness and love about them. I bought that icon when we visited a monastery on our tour through Greece, and it has lived on my desk since I got home from that trip. Initially, I think I was drawn to it because that same painting was actually on the cover of my theology textbook at seminary. It is an image that has always intrigued me. As much as any words in that textbook ever did, that painting on the cover has reminded and drawn me to the essence of who our God is. Three beautiful persons in one inseparable unity. The textbook, what's in it, it's a good one. It's called Theology for the Community of God, and it is built around two related ideas. The first is that in being three persons in one, our God is, in his very essence, a community, a perfect, beautiful community of three. The second idea is that being and living in community himself, God is also about the work of creating community. So community is both who God is and it's what God is doing. Well, the author of that text, Stanley Grenz, argues that all that God is and has been doing since the beginning of time is about creating and establishing a vibrant, beautiful community with God at the center and all of God's very good creation gathered within, a community that we often refer to as the kingdom of God. He explains that this community God is forming will consist of the same kind of vibrant, beautiful relationships that are found amongst the three parts of God. The relationships amongst those in God's kingdom will be like the relationships amongst the Trinity. Well, our passage from today is one of many that actually gives us a glimpse of what those relationships within the Trinity are like. It is another passage that has been taken from the farewell discourse, that long conversation Jesus had with his disciples on the night before his crucifixion. At this point in the conversation, Jesus has already told them that he's about to leave them. And here he is assuring them that the Spirit is going to come, and that when that happens, the Spirit will help them to hear and to understand everything they need to know. Jesus explains that what the Spirit will tell them is actually not just from him, but from God the Father, who himself has shared it with Jesus. It seems that there is this knowledge and awareness that is shared freely among the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And here Jesus is promising that part of the Spirit's job is to share some of that with us, the parts of it that God feels we need to know. So in this, we have this picture of how the Trinity works. Jesus is in the foreground in this case, but unquestionably, all parts of God are very much present and involved. They are all actively working towards the same purpose, drawing us into this life with God, the life we've been created for. Well, that reading is just one example of something that we see throughout Scripture. The three persons of God, all connected with a common heart and purpose, all working together towards that purpose without ever getting in each other's way. This is the nature of the community that exists among the Trinity. It is also the nature of the kind of community that God is inviting us to become a part of. And that is exactly why thinking about this is so important as we try to understand and live out our faith. That kind of connection, that kind of life in community, is what we were designed for. It's what God is leading us to, and it's where we will find the life we long for. So that's the thinking that lies behind a bunch of what we believe about the Trinity. And thinking about that is certainly important and good work to do. But I need to confess something to you today, something that might slightly alarm you, especially given that I'm supposed to actually be a pastor theologian. Well, I actually find this kind of heady thinking about the Trinity, well, it falls short for me. As with so much in our faith, I think we can only go so far on this with just our heads. Alone, they're not enough. We have to find a way to get our hearts involved as well. Ultimately, the idea that God is three persons in one unity is not, in its essence, an intellectual concept. Ultimately, the Trinity is a relationship. And as with any relationship, you can only go so far trying to explain it with words. In the end, to really grasp the richness and life in any relationship, it needs to be experienced. That is as true with the relationships among the Trinity as it is with any. And that's why I think some of the things that help us to begin to grasp the Trinity most don't come from theology books. They're things like paintings, like that little icon of mine, and songs and stories, things that engage us beyond our words and our minds. Well, a number of years ago, I came across a story from a prologue of a book by Robert Ferrer Capon called The Fingerprints of God. In that prologue, Capon creatively imagines a discussion going on among the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit on the evening before creation began. So it's creation eve. The three of them are sitting together talking about what is about to happen. And they're excited. Now there's a little caveat here. In Capon's imagination, this conversation happened over a shared single malt scotch and some cigars. And I get it if maybe that you have a hard time imagining that, but I want to ask you to try to set that difficulty aside for just a moment so that it doesn't get in the way of you hearing the rest of what he describes. Remember, this is an imaginary piece. It tries to help us to see the Trinity with more than just our brain. It helps us to get a bit of a sense of what God is like with our hearts. So here is just a snippet from the very beginning of that prologue. On the eve of the Big Bang, over single malt scotch and cigars, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were making a final run-through of their plans for the event. The Son was enthusiastic. "I think we've nailed it," he said to the Father. "I'm going to speak everything into being as your word, and the Spirit here is going to breathe life into it. Then the two of us toss it back to you, and the cosmic party dances itself right into our Trinitarian lap. Elegant." Now, cigars and scotch aside, in that story, Capon is inviting us to join him in imagining the excitement the Trinity must have felt about what was about to happen. We get a sense of their delighted anticipation about all that was about to be spoken into being and breathed into life. This imaginary scene shows us our God who is excited, and excited about us. And that, imagined or not, that truly is a glimpse of how our God is and of how our God feels about us. Many people I know have actually gotten a similar sense of the heart of the Trinity through the sometimes controversial book, The Shack. Now, whether you object to parts of that story or not, there can be no denying the sheer delight and love that the three characters of the Trinity in that story have for each other. It's tangible. It's absolutely beautiful to watch how they relate to each other. And it gives us just a little glimpse of the love and the delight that really does flow between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So again, this is a case where an imagined story can help us to take us beyond our heady thinking so that we can experience a little bit of that love and delight within God's heart. We need theology textbooks for sure. I have a lot of them in my office. But we also need these creative ways to imagine God, because they can help us to get a little more of an experience of that depth of love and connection that exists within the Trinity. Our God is three persons, but three with, in essence, one heart, a heart that is reflected perfectly in each of them, a heart that is for us. God's deep desire is to welcome us as part of the great community he's been creating since the beginning of time. That's what God is about. And it is so important to God that it is the one thing Jesus asked when he prayed for us on the night that he was arrested. He said, "I pray for those who will believe in me through their message." He was praying for us. And he asked that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. Jesus prayed for us that night to somehow be connected into the community of the Trinity, to be in them just as they are in each other. When you think about it, that is an astounding prayer. And Jesus prayed it for us. God's heart is so clear on this. God is always opening his arms wider and wider so that we might all get to become a part of the life we can find there. A life that flows unceasing between the Father, who is the Creator, Jesus, who is God made flesh, and the Holy Spirit, who is the giver of life. Amen. Please join me in prayer. God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who blew into our lives as wind and flame and prophecy, ignite the fire of hope in us and fan the flames of possibility. Transform us into a people who share your love with a world that knows too much pain, a people who proclaim your hope into a world given to despair, a people who live as though the world can be changed into the kingdom that is to come. God, your life is the essence of community, and you welcome us into that, singing with joy over us, calling us to join you in the dance of life. Hear all of your children who sing and dance and praise this morning, those who celebrate new life with all the possibilities for the future, those who celebrate relationships, both new and exciting, and the long-term and yet still exciting, those for whom the wonder of life fills their being to the limit. May they hear your voice joining in the singing and the shouting. And yet, God of life, you also speak the languages of pain, of sorrow, of fear, of despair. Hear all your children who speak, who wail, who whisper in these languages this day. Those who find themselves in hospital beds or waiting anxiously beside those beds. Those who gather to say farewell to one who is traveling or one who is moving. Those who gather at graveside to say that longer farewell. Those who worry about where the next meal or the next rent check will come from. Those who live in places where peace is just a word, a faint hope, a distant dream. May all those whose language is marred by pain hear you lamenting with them. Gracious God, fill us with your Spirit this and every day. Hear the prayers of your church spoken from around the world as we pray as one. For we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, whose life, death, and resurrection have shown us the way to your kingdom life. Amen. Friends, welcome to Jesus' table. You are most welcome here. The Holy One is here. God's Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to God. It is right to offer thanks and praise. Holy God of wind and fire, your Spirit renews the face of the earth and warms the hearts of your people. We give you thanks for your gifts of Pentecostal power, tongues that utter prophetic words of truth and justice, flames that kindle new visions of compassion and peace, fresh breezes that blow down the walls which separate us from you and one another. And so it is that we join with every voice and tongue on earth and in the heavens to give you praise. Lord of lords, creator of all things, nature gives thanks. Your creatures give thanks. Your praise rises in us like the great river. God of all things, creator, provider, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. We do what Jesus did on the night before he died. He took bread and gave thanks, broke the bread and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat, remember me." Then he took the cup and said, "Take, drink, remember." Remembering your boundless love for us in Jesus Christ, we offer you our praise as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Send, O God, your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that all who share in this bread and cup may be the body of Christ, light, life, and love in the world. In this hope and as your people, we praise you. Blessed be the Ancient of Days. Blessed be the Beloved. Blessed be the Spirit. Amen. Let's say together the prayer Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, this is the body of Christ, and it was broken for you. And this is the blood of Christ, and it was poured out for you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you now to consume the elements in your home.
Thank you.
Let's say together our prayer after communion. Holy, gracious God, here at this table, your promise of life is made tangible. We have rested in the depths of your love. We have tasted your nourishing, nurturing presence. We accept you into our bodies, into our lives. Together at this table, you have offered us life. Together, by your grace, we accept the life you offer, and we give you thanks. In the name of the risen one, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. With great thanks for the faithful giving that you have done this week, I invite you to join me now as we pray and dedicate all these gifts we've given to God. Holy One, you have given yourself to us in Creator, in Christ, in the Spirit. We now give back to you this money that seems so little, this worship that seems so small, these words that never quite get it right. Receive what we offer and transform it by the power of your Spirit into enough money, sufficient praise, worthy words for proclaiming and enacting your peace, justice, and love in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we go, just a couple of words. The first is I'd like to say a special hello to the faithful group of people who gather every Sunday morning at the Gardens to watch this online service and join us in worship together. We are so delighted that you are with us in spirit in this worship form, and we hope that you enjoy it and you find it life-giving and that you know that you are part in our hearts of the life of St. Stephen's. So welcome, we're delighted to have you with us, and I hope it's a good day for you all today. Also, just a reminder for anybody in the congregation that if you are in hospital or your spouse is in hospital, or if you are in need of some sort of pastoral care or a visit, we need you to call us and tell us that. As much as we would like to think we have our ears on the whole congregation, we just don't. And some of that information is actually hard for us to get because of privacy issues. So if you would like some care from us in some way, please don't hesitate to call the church office or email us and ask, and we will be delighted to get in touch with you and provide that in the best way that we can. Friends, may the holy wisdom of God guard your ways and guide your paths. May the living truth of God enlighten your hearts and open your minds. And may the living Spirit of God give you life and life to the full. Amen.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice. Trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. And age to age he stands. And time is in his hands, beginning and the end, the Godhead three. great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. 'Cause he's the name above all names, and worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is our God. 'Cause he's the name above all names, and worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great see how great